Today is the 17th day of August. Hi, welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it's wonderful to be here with you today, gathering here again, as we do every day, in a safe space of repair that we call the Global Campfire. This little oasis in the storms of life, in the cares and concerns and anxieties and regrets of life. This little safe oasis that's, just a place that we can come and allow the scriptures to wash over us and to take a reprieve, to seek wisdom and just let the cares go for a minute. I'm grateful that we have this place. I'm grateful that we can move forward together. And we will now move toward the end of the book of Nehemiah. Today, chapter 12, verse 27 through 13, verse 31. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sent for the Levites wherever they lived and brought them to Jerusalem to celebrate the joyous dedication with thanksgiving and singing, accompanied by cymbals, harps, and lyres. The singers gathered from the region around Jerusalem, from the settlements of the Netophatites, from Beth Gilgal, and from the fields of Geba and Asmaveth, for they had built settlements for themselves around Jerusalem. After the priests and Levites had purified themselves, they purified the people, the city gates, and the wall. Then I brought the leaders of Judah up on top of the wall, and I appointed two large processions that gave thanks. One went to the right on the wall toward the dung gate. Hoshea and half the leaders of Judah followed, along with Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, Jeremiah, and some of the priests' sons with trumpets, and Zechariah son of Jonathan, son of Shemaiah, son of Mattaniah, son of Micaiah, son of Zakur, son of Asaph, followed, as well as his relatives. Shemaiah, Azarel, Milalai, Gilalai, Maai, Nethanel, Judah, and Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God. Ezra the scribe went in front of them. At the fountain gate they climbed the steps of the city of David on the ascent of the wall and went above the house of David to the water gate on the east. The second Thanksgiving procession went to the left, and I followed it with half the people along the top of the wall, past the Tower of the Ovens to the broad wall, above the Ephraim gate, and by the old gate, the fish gate, the Tower of Hananel, and the Tower of the Hundred to the sheep gate. They stopped at the gate of the guard. The two Thanksgiving processions stood in the house of God. So did I, and half of the officials accompanying me, as well as the priests, Eliakim, Maaseiah, Miniamin, Micaiah, Elioni, Zechariah, and Hananiah with trumpets, and Maaseiah, Shemaiah, Eleazar, Uzi, Jehohanan, Melchijah, Elam, and Azar. Then the singers sang, with Jazariah as the leader. On that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, because God had given them great joy. The women and children also celebrated, and Jerusalem's rejoicing was heard far away. On that same day, men were placed in charge of the rooms that housed the supplies, contributions, first fruits, and tenths. The legally required portions for the priests and Levites were gathered from the village fields, because Judah was grateful to the priests and Levites who were serving. They performed the service of their God and the service of purification, along with the singers and gatekeepers, as David and his son Solomon had prescribed. For long ago, in the days of David and Asaph, there were heads of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. So in the days of Zerubbabel and Nehemiah, all Israel contributed the daily portions for the singers and gatekeepers. They also set aside daily portions for the Levites, and the Levites set aside daily portions for Aaron's descendants. At that time, the book of Moses was read publicly to the people. The command was found written in it that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever enter the assembly of God, because they did not meet the Israelites with food and water. Instead, they hired Balaam against them to curse them. But our God turned the curse into a blessing. When they heard the law, they separated all those of mixed descent from Israel. Now before this, the priest Eliashib had been put in charge of the storerooms of the house of our God. He was a relative of Tobiah, and had prepared a large room for him, where they had previously stored the grain offerings, the frankincense, the articles and the tenths of grain, new wine, and fresh oil, prescribed for the Levites, singers, and gatekeepers, along with the contributions for the priests. While all this was happening, I was not in Jerusalem, because I had returned to King Artaxerxes of Babylon in the 32nd year of his reign. It was only later that I asked the king for a leave of absence so I could return to Jerusalem. Then I discovered the evil that Eliashib had done on behalf of Tobiah by providing him a room in the courts of God's house. I was greatly displeased and threw all of Tobiah's household possessions out of the room. I ordered that the rooms be purified, and I had the articles of the house of God restored there, along with the grain offering and frankincense. I also found out that because the portions for the Levites had not been given, each of the Levites and the singers performing the service had gone back to his own field. Therefore, I rebuked the officials, asking, "Why has the house of God been neglected?" I gathered the Levites and singers together and stationed them at their posts. Then all Judah brought a tenth of the grain, new wine, and fresh oil into the storehouses. I appointed as treasurers over the storehouses the priest Shelemiah, the scribe Zadok, and Pedaiah of the Levites, with Anan son of Zakur, son of Mattaniah, to assist them, because they were considered trustworthy. They were responsible for the distribution to their colleagues. Remember me for this, my God, and don't erase the deeds of faithful love I have done for the house of my God and for its services. At that time I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath. They were also bringing in stores of grain and loading them on donkeys, along with wine, grapes, and figs. All kinds of goods were being brought to Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, so I warned them against selling food on that day. The Tyrians living there were importing fish and all kinds of merchandise and selling them on the Sabbath to the people of Judah in Jerusalem. I rebuked the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What is this evil you are doing, profaning the Sabbath day? Didn't your ancestors do the same, so that our God brought all this disaster on us and on this city? And now you are rekindling his anger against Israel by profaning the Sabbath." When shadows began to fall on the city gates of Jerusalem just before the Sabbath, I gave orders that the city gates be closed and not opened until after the Sabbath. I posted some of my men at the gates so that no goods could enter during the Sabbath day. Once or twice, the merchants and those who sell all kinds of goods camped outside Jerusalem. But I warned them, "Why are you camping in front of the wall? If you do it again, I'll use force against you." After that, they did not come again on the Sabbath. Then I instructed the Levites to purify themselves and guard the city gates in order to keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember me for this also, my God, and look on me with compassion, according to the abundance of your faithful love. In those days, I also saw Jews who had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod, or the language of one of the other peoples, but could not speak Hebrew. I rebuked them, cursed them, beat some of their men, and pulled out their hair. I forced them to take an oath before God and said, "You must not give your daughters in marriage to their sons, or take their daughters as wives for your sons or yourselves. Didn't King Solomon of Israel sin in matters like this? There was not a king like him among many nations. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Yet foreign women drew him into sin. Why then should we hear about you doing all this terrible evil and acting unfaithfully against our God by marrying foreign women? Even one of the sons of Jehoiada, son of the high priest Eliashib, had become a son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite. So I drove him away from me. Remember them, my God, for defiling the priesthood as well as the covenant of the priesthood and the Levites. So I purified them from everything foreign and assigned specific duties to each of the priests and Levites. I also arranged for the donation of wood at the appointed times and for the first fruits. Remember me, my God, with favor. First Corinthians 11:1-16. Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold fast to the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ. Every man who prays or prophesies with something on his head dishonors his head. Every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, since that is one and the same as having her head shaved. For if a woman doesn't cover her head, she should have her hair cut off. But if it is disgraceful for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, let her head be covered. A man should not cover his head, because he is the image and glory of God. So too, woman is the glory of man. For man did not come from woman, but woman came from man. Neither was man created for the sake of woman, but woman for the sake of man. This is why a woman should have a symbol of authority on her head, because of the angels. In the Lord, however, woman is not independent of man, and man is not independent of woman. For just as woman came from man, so man comes through woman, and all things come from God. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a disgrace to him? But that if a woman has long hair, it is her glory? For her hair is given to her as a covering. If anyone wants to argue about this, we have no other custom, nor do the churches of God. Psalm 35:1-16. Prayer for victory of David. Oppose my opponents, Lord. Fight those who fight me. Take your shields, large and small, and come to my aid. Draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers, and assure me I am your deliverance. Let those who intend to take my life be disgraced and humiliated. Let those who plan to harm me be turned back and ashamed. Let them be like chaff in the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. Let their way be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. They hid their net for me without cause. They dug a pit for me without cause. Let ruin come on him unexpectedly, and let the net that he hid ensnare him. Let him fall into it, to his ruin. And I will rejoice in the Lord. I will delight in his deliverance. All my bones will say, Lord, who is like you, rescuing the poor from one too strong for him, the poor or the needy from one who robs him. Malicious witnesses come forward. They question me about things I do not know. They repay me evil for good, making me desolate. Yet when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer was genuine. I went about mourning as if for my friend or brother. I was bowed down with grief, like one mourning for a mother. But when I stumbled, they gathered in glee. They gathered against me. Assailants I did not know tore at me and did not stop. With godless mockery, they gnashed their teeth at me. Proverbs 21, 17 and 18. The one who loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and oil will not get rich. The wicked are a ransom for the righteous, and the treacherous for the upright. So we concluded the book of Nehemiah today with the dedication of the wall that finally surrounded Jerusalem and protected the temple, as was Nehemiah's vision. And two choirs processed their way in opposite directions atop this new wall. And man, Nehemiah must have seen that after all that it took and all that he went through as a moment of true satisfaction before God. Rebuilding the wall had been very challenging, to say the least. He was opposed in every way on all sides, but they had endured, and God had been faithful. And with his guidance, they had completed that mission. So Nehemiah returns to Babylon to serve King Artaxerxes afterward, but then was later granted permission to go back to Jerusalem. When he gets there, he discovers how quickly the people began to drift away from all that they had just vowed before God. Eliashib, the supervisor of the temple storerooms, allowed Tobiah, who, as we will recall, was one of the chief instigators of intimidation and threat and discouragement during the building of the wall. He now has access to a large storeroom within the temple of God to use however he pleases, because Eliashib and Tobiah are related. And then the Levites and singers, they have not been paid. And so they have left their sacred jobs to have to work in their fields to provide for themselves and their families, which obviously negatively affects the worship at the temple, which was already being neglected. And the people began to ignore the Sabbath day in favor of it being a day of trade and commerce. This, as we just read, infuriates, even horrifies Nehemiah. And finally, the people once again start marrying with the surrounding nations. This is what Nehemiah comes back to after building the wall. And in the face of this discouragement, Nehemiah restores order but turns to God, asks God to remember all that he did from a true and pure heart on behalf of his people. And so Nehemiah's reliance on God here is another important example of leadership. In the end, like, we can get everything set up in a straight line, working perfectly, but we cannot always influence people to do the right thing. We can influence ourselves. Like, we can follow God's leadership by watching over and paying attention to ourselves and taking responsibility for ourselves and what we have been entrusted with. If we can do that with a pure heart, then we've done what we can do. And then we can pray along with Nehemiah, remember this in my favor, oh my God. And so Father, yes, indeed, remember with favor, oh God, the things that we have done right. And then of course, we have to ask for mercy and forgetfulness by all the ways that we have so profoundly failed you, failed those around us, failed. So we ask your forgiveness. And as we close the books of Nehemiah for this year, we take to heart what it looks like to be steadfast, what it takes like to continue forward even when opposition is so significant and severe that it slows things down to a crawl, but that they just kept continuing forward in whatever way that they could. And we see all of the ways in which every conceivable thing from within and from without came to intimidate and derail the project. And yet they continued to find a way. Help us to have that kind of tenacity and perseverance in our own lives. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, these are home base, and they are where you find out what is going on around here. So stay connected, be connected. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are fun things to wear there, including like the repair wristband. I've got mine on. I got mine on all year. Couldn't have needed that word more often than I do. There's also other things to wear. The DAB leather snapback hats with the leather patch on them. The DAB logo. The Act Justly, Love Mercy, Walk Humbly, our premium t-shirt. Then there's some Global Campfire graphic tees, other things. Even an I'll Be Waiting For You Here Tomorrow t-shirt. And Love One Another. So just check out what's there in the Daily Audio Bible shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if being here together around the Global Campfire is life-giving, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, where the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. That's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. My heart is filled with love for each one of you. I am so, so grateful to the Lord for the blessing of being a part of this community, seeing His hand work through each of us, and in the voices of those who call and in the hearts of those who may not ever call. And I really want to just express my deep appreciation and gratitude to Brian Harden and the Harden family, Jill, Max, China, Ezekiel. I can't begin to express how amazing this platform is and how it has enriched my life. And lastly, please keep my husband, Mike, and I in your prayers as he is undergoing chemotherapy for his chronic lymphocytic leukemia. It is a chronic cancer, and he is actually doing very well. He's tired. It makes him very, very tired. So I covet your prayers. I love each and every single one of you, and I hope you have a wonderful, blessed day.
This is Knees Upon the Floor. I'm asking you to please pray with me for Ileana. She's a 12-year-old girl that was trapped, or that was in one of the buildings that collapsed in Colombia in the earthquake. And they don't know her status. She was home alone, and they don't know what. We haven't been able to find her. Anyway, Lord Jesus, please put your hands on this little girl. keep her safe until they can find her. Give her courage to hold on if she needs it to, till they can find her. Bless her parents and her family that are so desperate to know about her and know of her and find her. And just be with her in Jesus' name. Thank you for praying with me, DAB family.
What's up, Dad fam? Hey, this is Cowboy. I just wanted to call in and give a big old head nod to that praise report from Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. Sister, I heard you were the first call in for the community prayers, and I was at work and I was all by myself out in the yard and just got finished, you know, listening to that day's reading and turned it on the community prayers, and what such a blessing to hear that little Garrett finally made his way to church. Man, it touched my heart, and I couldn't do anything but just well up in tears, you know, and just praise the Lord. And so, man, that just so blessed my soul. So I want to speak Jesus into that young man. I would like to speak Jesus into your entire family. Yeah, young man, Lord, I pray that you do mighty works in young Garrett's life. Lord, I pray that you make him a mighty warrior for you, Father. Lord, I pray that you give him the boldness to run into the darkest places to save souls for your kingdom. Lord, I pray that you just grant him the power and authority which you grant all of us, but for him to stand boldly and to point to the storm and to calm the storm out of pure faith for you, Father. Lord, into any and every situation, I just pray that you do mighty, mighty things in that young man's life. Lord, Father God, that everyone that comes around him is just blessed to be in his presence, because you are just so prevalent on him, Lord, that it just radiates to all his surrounding areas, where there's no doubt in anyone's mind, Father God, that he serves you and that you are abundant in his life. Lord, I pray that for all of us too. Amen.
Good morning, DAB family. This is June in Texas. Calling in just to respond to a prayer request from a lady who I believe is from the Northwest, but she was saying that she's retired now and her husband is late and she doesn't have that many friends or family around or a social network, and she started going to the women's grief ministry group just to have some type of social outlet. But and there's nothing wrong with that. That's an opportunity as well. But what I would like to suggest to you this morning is that you start a ministry. You can pray about it, whatever's on your heart and whatever you're looking for. You're not the only one. You'll be surprised. And I've been there and I've done that, where I started a ministry and my church supported me. So you just start jotting down some ideas and then write a small little one paragraph proposal of what you're looking for, present it to your leadership, and see if they're willing to support you in starting a small group ministry surrounding your current needs and what you're looking for. If it doesn't exist, this may be God's opportunity for you to build it. It can be, you know, the retirees, it can be women only, it can be co-ed, it can be whatever it is that God is putting on your heart. If you read a Christian book that was really helpful to you, or you know about a topic that's really helpful to you, you can base it around that. Even if it's terminal, if it's a 6-week, let's meet for this, or 12-week, whatever, that's fine. If it's a walking ministry or a hiking ministry, doesn't matter. Whatever you're looking to do that's outgoing, that's upbeat, that you can make new, healthy relationships and bond with people, just write it out, propose it, and this may be your opportunity to create it. You'd be surprised how many other people are looking for the same exact thing and will come around you and support you. So I am running out of time. So thank you all. Love you all. Hope everyone has a blessed day.
Hi, my DAB family. This is Resting in God's Shadow. I just listened. I'm still a little behind. Just listened to the August 6th, I believe it was, podcast. And there are a couple prayer requests that came in. I want to lift up Donna. Donna, you called about being depressed and something else. I'm so sorry that I don't remember the other thing, but Father, I just want to lift Donna up to you. She is a beloved daughter of yours. She is precious. She is special. She's treasured. She's chosen. She's set apart. She's fearfully and wonderfully made. She is beautiful. She is lavishly loved, and she is thoroughly known by a good, good father who never leaves her, never forsakes her, and is always with her. Donna, I just encourage you to meditate on that, to sit in that, that he loves you so much, that he sees you. He is with you. I pray his peace that goes beyond all human understanding fall fresh upon you daily in the name of Jesus. I pray that the Holy Spirit just ignite himself, the knowing of you, how thoroughly he knows you and just loves you, loves everything about you in the name of Jesus. And I pray you surrender this and give everything to him. Just surrender and yield to his love, yield to him in the name of Jesus. And I come against the spirit addiction in the name of Jesus. You don't have her. She is not yours. She was bought with Jesus Christ's beautiful blood and precious blood of the Savior. So she is already owned by someone else. You must go in the name of Jesus. Be encouraged, Donna. And I also just wanted to lift up the lady that called in about her brother who's an alcoholic and her granddaughter who attempted to take her life just the previous day. Father, we say no more. Darkness must flee in the name of Jesus. The spirit of addiction of alcoholism must lift from her brother in the name of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, I also pray for her granddaughter to know who she is, to know you, to know your love, and to come and sit at your feet along with her parents. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, DAB family. This is Mark, the baby doctor from Dayton, Ohio. Emily from the central coast of California. I hear you in a struggling prayer life. We've all been there, and we all just simply show up and persevere in prayer, and the Lord will show up for you. So I'm just praying that you would take your mind off of works. Know that the Father Abba loves you and is as happy when you're sitting before him having a conversation with him. Fearfully and wonderfully made, praise the Lord that Garrett got to go to church. As you were telling us this story, I just had a sense that the Lord has a call on Garrett's life and you don't have to worry about him. He's going to be a spokesman for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Garrett. Sparky, I'm so very sorry about this situation that you find yourself in and that it made its way to social media. Lord, we're just lifting up Sparky's heart to you, Lord Jesus, for healing, for a salve, the balm of Gilead, to be on his heart. And this humiliation that he felt, Lord Jesus, much like the humiliation you felt, Jesus. So, Sparky, I'm praying that the Lord would be by your side and you would sense his presence as you walk through this situation. On the community line, there were two ladies that called in, did not leave a name. One asked for prayers for her husband and the second one for prayers for their marriage. Lord, you know these two. I lift up these marriages to you. Touch them, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. Thank you. I love all of you.